Okay, check 1, 2.
From the hall.
Rex, did you tell him what we want to do?
No, I haven't.
We want to, hold on. We'll wait till everybody gets here. Praise the Lord.
You'll have to wait like everybody.
I'm so glad you're coming.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Sure, they'll like it. They'll like it. My mama. And you can see like nights like tonight, how nice it would be, wouldn't it? So.
I'm back and forth. Right. Watching the movie. I haven't been in there. Pastor Rod even checked on him once.
Who is that? What that is that?
That's the youngest one.
You want some duct tape? No.
I need something. Cause she's like, ooh,
I'll take care of it. Huh?
I said, tell him I want it back.
1 6 too much.
Jesse, why don't you go ahead and pray?
966. Woman.
Here we go.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Everybody ready? Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time of fellowship and study in your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint the teaching tonight and prepare our hearts so we might receive the true message that you have for us and that will produce fruit in our lives and that we won't forget it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we just got finished studying the book of Philippians. Did y'all get something out of that when we studied the book of Philippians? And so we're going to bust into a new book tonight. And, you know, as I was sitting up there going through it and looking at it, this book is almost scary when you find out that when it says the living word of God, it is alive. And that's just not saying it off the top of my head. That is a reality. This book is alive. I mean, it applies to exactly where you are. God will bring out certain things according to where you are, even if you're not even looking for it. That stuff will start to pop out and start to make sense to you, you know. And I think that, to me, one of the things that proves the existence of God to me is the living word of God. It's just the Bible. The fact that this same book, no matter how many times you read it, how many times you can go through it, there's always something new. I mean, how many books can you read over and over and over again, like over 20 years, and, you know, go through this thing, and then every time you open it up there, even after going to school and having to do reports, and you open it up and stuff starts to light up to where it never lit up before. And I wonder how long it will be like that. I believe until forever. But to me, that's one of the proofs of God for me, is just the fact that his word just keeps getting more and more expansive. You're going to need to study and know what the bars are to really get anything out of teaching, you know, and that will prove God's existence to you too when you see how everything kind of links up in all the services, all the classes and everything, exactly where God's going. Yes, sir.
The bar. A bunch of people didn't know what the bar is.
Who wants to explain the bar? Who wants to explain the bar? Go ahead, Brother Jesse.
It's a Hebrew word for word, but it's a directional, instructional word for a season that you hear and you might hear over and over, and in that is instruction and direction for you in a particular time, what you should do and follow for a certain plan of God to come about.
It's usually, we all know that logos, when you hear the word logos, it basically means the word of God, or what is God trying to say to you specifically. How many of you have had messages try to get to you, and it's usually the same theme of messages? It's like some, you know, or you work for a company. If you work for a company before, and your boss sometimes doesn't want to be too direct with you, so he'll say things in many different ways to get that word across to you. Well, that's kind of like how God deals with us in the bar. He wants to get something across to us, and he will make life start to do things to us to get the word across to us that he wants to get across to us. And so everybody's got to really, you get more out of Nations Church if you can hear the word. And I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. I don't think he was basically, most talking about, if you're not deaf, you can understand this. Basically, if you have an ear, having an ear means a heart of discernment. If you can hear the underlying message or the spiritual tone of that thing, we're going to get a little bit out there because that's just us. When we talk something, everybody knows what a dimension is. Well, there's dimensions of thought. You know, a dimension of thought, you know, like one person can talk on this level, but behind the scene, there's a whole nother message being given and being driven home. And that's why Jesus taught in parables, because his parables were not just story rhymes and fables. They were multi-dimensional things, you know, to where those that were on one frame of mind, they only got this part of it. But to those that had the heart of God or had the mindset of wanting to know more about God, they heard something that other people weren't able to hear. How many? That's how we can go to church and one person said, what did you get? What did you get? And everybody kind of got a little bit that their mind could pick up. But also behind that, that's how you can get some people could get say, man, did you get that? And the other person goes, I didn't understand a thing, or that didn't suit my fancy at all. So you have to be spiritually really in tune to hear a true word of God. And I believe one of the evidence of a true word of God is that word will be multidimensional, that it will have that power. He says, my words are what? Spirit and life. That means they were just not a, it was just not a thesis, it was just not a thought pattern, amen, but there was some, it was power behind those words. It was kind of out there. How many of you believe in power? And we're not used to hearing that in churches anymore, you know, in churches anymore, because they've taken Christianity and washed it down and took all of the power out of it, all of the mystery of God, you know, all of the reality of God, and we turned it into where Christianity today, the majority of Christians just believe in a historical figure named Jesus, you know, that it's coming back in the sky one day, and if you're good, you get to go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell, you know, and that's just about the gist of it. And if Jesus exists, we all get to go to heaven. If he doesn't exist, we have some form of order in the world. Even if it's not all of it's awash, at least people have something to govern themselves with. It makes people behave themselves. And that's what a lot of the young people don't like about Christianity, because they think that's all it is a way to keep people controlled. You know, but I believe that it's more than that, that God is real and there is power to our faith. So we're studying the book of Colossians, and with that, I want you to be able to pick up the Dabar. How many of you are kind of getting a gist of what God is trying to say in these last couple of teachings, what we've been hitting on? Anybody been listening? Who's been listening? Can you tell me where we're going? And before we even get in this, what have you been hearing? What's been sticking out to you the most? Gloria. What's been sticking out to you the most? What did you hear in that last message? And what do you think the message was trying to be said to you was? You told me on the phone. That's why I called on you.
Like last night, like the purposes, going into purpose, been into preparation for a long time. And it's like we're getting pulled out. And there's so many anointings in this church, and they're covered with white gloves, which means that that's God's head of it. But it's a resistance because we don't want to see the real manifestation. I saw it in the rope. And when I was looking in the see what hands mean, man is part of what started out with manifestation of the spirit. So I was just saying that it's got a whole lot of fruit. And I saw the yield sign that I think the church is about to go into right now after we get pulled up out of this slum. Bogging area that we're in right now. A whole lot of manifestation of the spirit. That's what I see.
H's a little deep. She's an intercessor. Now, that's good. Now, when we get into this portion here, this is one of the same things that we've been saying, but given to us with a deeper type of revelation. So let's go here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Colossians, the book of Colossians, right after Philippians, page number 1059. One of the things I want to get over to you people is true Christianity just by reading the Bible. You know, if we would just read the Bible at least one day, you know, in like on Wednesday nights, just hit the Bible and go with the Bible and really pull it open, we'll be able to see what true Christianity is. Because a lot of you think our church is so different than most churches. But if we can read the Word, you know, and see the similarities or what the original apostles or what Jesus was actually trying to give the believer, we can see we're not too far from what they said we should be. Or we should strive that way. Or if we did what they said, we'd be really different, wouldn't we? Okay? So it says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Isn't that a powerful statement? Mm-hmm. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two verses, aren't they? Those are two powerful verses, but we're just not going to let those verses go away. We're going to try to see. We're going to pull those verses out and really find out how do these verses apply to us and in our circumstance or our situation right here. First of all, it said Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Everybody write that word down, will of God. That's something that brings the power, the existence of God into reality again, because we're not used to seeing that too often. or really not. People just make decisions today, and they leave the power of God out of it. They leave the will of God out of it, or the mind of God out of things. You know, and we've gotten so in control of our own lives, and we've left God's sovereignty out of so many things. And I believe this is why there's been such a draining of the power out of the church today. Because Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. What is an apostle? That's one of the things that differs, that our faith and the charismatic faith, the Pentecostal faith, differ from so many of the other mainline evangelical churches, is that we still believe in all of the 9 or 12 or 2,000 spiritual giftings. We believe that not one spiritual office is extinct today. Not one. We believe that they're all active. They haven't decreased in any sense of the word. We believe in the apostolic ministry today. And that's a big difference. A lot of people want to do away. That's one of the first ministries they want to knock out. They don't believe in prophets anymore. They don't believe in apostles anymore. They only believe in things where you don't really have to use any supernatural power. You know, we'll have an evangelist because that's just giving the basic testimony. But we'll leave anything that just gives us, that brings Jesus on the spot, is hard for us to get into. Anything that really involves the miraculous, we try to throw out of the church today. Why do you think churches are trying to throw out the miraculous today? Because it caused something to happen, or what else?
Because people won't come. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Because people won't come. Okay. What else? What are some of the other reasons that people throw out the miraculous?
People don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable.
Right. People don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable. What's some of the other reasons that they throw out the miraculous?
You can't control what goes on.
You can't control what goes on. What else? Belle, what was yours? You think people? Crystal?
Oh, mine's already been.
Okay. Think about it this way. Who does the miraculous?
God.
Who? God. Mm-hmm. Maybe the issue is that we really don't want God on the scene. Doesn't have anything to do with the power, is you just don't want Him on the scene. We want to believe in Him, you know what I'm saying? But if He shows up, you know, that puts a sovereignty over our life and that messes everything up, you know what I'm saying? We can say, well, this is what He meant, and we could still be in control as long as He's not showing up. We can always say that this is what I believe it means, but we can't say for sure that this is truly what God wants to do, or really what God wants, or where God really is. And so it takes that ingredient out. It makes things a lot easier to deal with if it's not plugged in. It's a lot easier to mess with. If I were going to wire this building, it's a lot easier to wire a building with the power off, isn't it? Because you're afraid, you don't want to get blown up.
Amen.
Right? You don't want to get blown up. So when God's out of the picture, you know, anything that makes God Himself, or where He actually starts to do the things that He did in New Testament church, we don't have those things in existence. Anything that man can be in control or accomplish on his own, notice that those are the gifts that we receive today. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
It reminds me of what Billy Coon said when she went to that other church, and she came back and she said, I don't want to be in a church where they talk about God. I want to be in a church where God talks.
Where God talks. Or they'll allow a little bit of emotionalism to get in there, you know, and that's some of it too. But when it really gets into where we get an encounter with God, or the possibility of an encounter with God, and most of the things that they call an encounter, where people usually would get an encounter with God or anything over on the other side, they are the first ones to get branded cult or bizarre. Now, there are cults out there and weird stuff out there. But that's something that people don't want to deal with today. But there was no reference in biblical, in this written word that we have to go by as a rule book, of a church that didn't have God somehow moving and proving His existence in that generation or in that time frame. Paul wasn't just taking them back to previous history and letting them base their faith in that. You know, Paul said that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, or what people knew about God, but in what? The power of God. And it was basically meaning the power manifest at that particular time. So how many of you have seen the power of God manifest at that particular time?
Amen.
I do. And it takes faith to walk in that fashion. You know, it takes faith to walk into where, hey, look, God's doing something today, and how do I deal and discern what the Spirit of God's trying to say today? So we get into here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is one of the things that we, in today, that we've lost, that we have got to get back again. And we believe one of the calls to our body, I don't care how long it takes to do it, we can screw up for 50 years, you know, but that call and that quest will still be there to get that thing accomplished, whether you accomplish it or not. But to restore once again holy reverence. Can't you see what the devil's doing? You know, can't you see what the devil's doing throughout all the world, in our nation? Look what he did. The last organization that really had some type of authority or just natural reverence. Usually if you saw, I don't care if you were Catholic or not, if you saw a priest or if you saw a nun, something happened on the inside, you say, wow, that's a holy thing. You know what I'm saying? It may, even if you never even grew up Catholic, you thought, wow, they, you know, that's something special. Over the last 8 years, what has the devil done with all of his molestation charges and everything like that? No longer are people able to believe in ministries or the supernatural of ministers anymore. Ministry has become common to people. There's no reverence whatsoever. They vote them in. They vote them out. They can do whatever they feel like doing. There's no fear. In the 70s, we used to call ministers reverence. And reverence means reverence. That means that it was something of God. Well, today you look at that, that is completely nullified and gone. That is completely nullified and gone. You don't catch that anywhere. You know, you don't see that anywhere. There's no fear. God is out of the picture. It's all human. It's all human. It's all human made. It's all man made. You know, Pastor Rod is Pastor Rod because we pay our tithes, and if we can pay the bills, you know, this is what happens when we can pay the bills. We just get someone to do the job. Anybody can do the job. God has nothing to do with it. You know, if we don't like this church, we'll go down the street. You know, we can have church anywhere we feel like having church. God has nothing to do with it. Or if I don't like this church, I could just quit this church and just be a pastor of another church. There's no sovereignty in this thing whatsoever. We've gotten to the point to where we call all the shots, you know what I'm saying, and want God to supply the bullets. You know? And we're going to learn that as we get into this thing, even though we have great faith and all of these things, that there are some things that are untouchable with God. There are lots of man-made things out there. Lots of it today. And that's what the plan of the devil is. Antichrist. You know, it says it comes in. You know, it comes in and it looks just like it. You know, and they tell us all these stories. You know, you can get involved with this. It looks just like what it should be. And it tells everybody else, but it's not. So how are we going to find safety in this last day and do all of this stuff? How are we going to get it? How are we going to know the real versus the other thing or the sovereign will of God? By the Holy Spirit. Hey, look who's coming tonight, y'all. This is my buddy from the thing. Hey, bro, come on in, man. This is my friend.
I just came from delivering a job, and I just like, I want to stop by. How y'all doing?
We're going to pray for your business tonight if you stay for the whole thing.
I wanted to tithe a little bit to you.
Y'all know who this is?
Yes.
Y'all know who this is? Y'all, let's pray for this guy owns the print shop down here. Isn't that God? Isn't that great? Isn't that what we need? Well, praise God, brother. Y'all are sitting here like that doesn't make a difference. Y'all should have saw offering Sunday morning. You'd be crying. I'll dance. God, we're believing God for his business. I told him, and someone might think I'm nuts, but you know what? You can call me whatever you call me, but I've got a track record. I got a track record longer than before. I was in this area for 5 years, you know, and I got a little track record here at this time. And everybody that knows me, whether they love me or hate me, they'll say the same thing. He doesn't change. And what he says is what he means to back up and what he truly means. And the track record before this one is precedent beyond that. You know what I'm saying? The same thing. You can go back to Columbia, Maryland 20 years ago and the same work, same passion, same thing. If we say, you know, if we make a mistake, we'll say, hey, that we blew that one, that was dumb, or whatever else it is. But if something comes out here, we put it out there. And I put a covenant out to him. I said, you get in here. And some of you that know this, and it takes people that have been here longer to really know my heart. I said, brother, you get in here, you listen to this word. I said, I give you 3 years. I said, you give it 3 years. I said, and it said, it's dependent on your listening. It depends really on your listening. But you get in here and listen for 3 years, but you got to be really careful because you'll turn out like this one or something else. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I really got, I had problems with your situation, Rita. You know, and I was praying about Rita's situation with this thing she was doing with this property out here and doing all this other stuff. And I said, that's just crazy. You know, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And he said, well, where do you think they got it? This bay over here, the same thing. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. You get, you know, get out there and they hear this stuff. And I'm saying they're hearing this stuff and believing they can get anything or having anything. And then all of a sudden they step out and start to do this stuff and you start to bite your nails. That's what it's all about. That's, you know, that's really what it's all about. So I told my brother with faith and confidence, you can call me nuts, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart. I said, you get in here, you listen to this word, give it about 3 years. I said, you'll be doing about 250. So you'll be doing about 250. You give it, you apply it to your life. I said, you'll do about 250 or whatever else that God wants you to do. And we'll just see how God goes. Amen? That CD you listen to, I got to call that person and just say, praise God for it. A hot CD right now is Rags to Riches for some strange reason. So we're studying this thing right here, and we've got to learn these things because this is a level. This has been, these are the rocks to nation. These are nation's church problems. Behind this teaching right here are the, this is the root of we're covering these two verses here. Sounds like we're rabbit trailing, but we're really not. This is the problem at nations, and this is the problem in our community, and this is the problem in the body of Christ right now. And this is why we can't milk out of the church the things that we need to milk out of there, because it's just not working. It's supposed to be more. It's supposed to be more. You know, and obviously it's not. And I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about all churches as a whole. There are certain things that we should believe in, and certain things that just work a certain way, and when they don't, we all get in trouble. And one of the things that we're going to fix, if you can put this teaching together with the teaching on Sunday night or Sunday morning, we're talking about the person had their hands up. You're going to find this today. Tonight we're going to figure out what happens. This is a teaching, I've never seen this before, the teaching of the uplifted hands. There are certain people that once they have their hands up, I'm glad this church is small at this point and we got this many people in this room, because not everybody can deal with this or handle this, and God knows that. You know, other people they couldn't handle this because they couldn't understand this, and they get it the wrong way, and they wouldn't be able to work it. But I want you to read with me, study with me, and then go back and research it on your own and put it all together, and you're going to get something. Notice that when Moses had his hands up, the people did what? When I studied this opening book, we're starting a new book of the Bible, Colossians. Guess what I found out in chapter 1? That same teaching. That same teaching. And I've been getting this rebuke from God for the last 5 years. For the last 5 years. You know, the same word. You do this. This is what you're called to do. Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden we see it here in Scripture. So I want us to believe in this. And you know what? You're not going to be able to pull supernaturally off of anything unless you meet that thing with what? Faith. And you're not going to be able to meet anything with faith unless you have some type of revelation or understanding about it. We all believe that if we get sick, we can be healed because we have what? We just don't believe it, but we have faith. We have biblical knowledge to trust on it to where we stand, that stuff will happen. So something happens differently to us. Well, I don't believe that anybody's going to be able to pull anything from what I'm saying, that we're going to find a case that if we all start to do certain things, that it will automatically cause our natural life to get better. That's not just talking. Amen. I'm seeing something in the Bible, and if not, you just get a good Wednesday night today or something to argue about. But what I'm finding in the Bible, I'm finding scriptural grounds that there are certain people that God has called out and set aside. He's called us all to pray and do certain things. But there are some that He's called and put them out and said, you stretch your hands, and if you stretch your hands and if you pray or you believe or you do what you're to do, people will prevail. And I'm starting to see this, and I haven't done this in 5 years because I've been doing a lot of other stuff. You know, I've been studying and believing God and do it, but not to that level because I haven't had necessarily the faith. I just thought, well, it's a nice thing to just help us preach better. But now God's showing it to me in a different way that will convince me more to get it done. Like, I've got a word over my life years ago, and it was something I had difficulty doing when I got here. I was doing it in a different city. Was 9 to 12 to be in prayer, to be in prayer, and to be in worship and prayer from 9 to 12, just to shut up and just give God that time. And when I got here into the real arena where it was church, how could you be in prayer at 9 to 12? That's business time. We could be doing flyers. We could be doing this. We could be on the phone. We could do whatever we got to do. Stuff that's really going to cause this church to grow, you know, and we can see how much we've grown doing those things, right? What I'm finding that if we would do this other, if we would pray, something's going to happen to our body supernaturally that I'm going to put my faith in, you know, that I'm going to put my faith in. Said Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, first of all, by what? The will of God. If we know that there are certain things, how do you know whether you're in the will of God or not? If you're in the will of God, you should be expected to prosper. If you're in the right job and you don't have, does it mean that if you're not preaching or doing something that you're out of the will of God? No, the will of God is different for each person. The will of God could be for you to be at Fidelity, you know, making those accounts, or for you to be up there at that print shop. And when everybody sticks at what God told them to do and what God leads them to do, and they get at the right place at the right time, awesome things happen. God will cause, we told our brother over here today, we said, you know what's been amazing? We've seen people move into this complex, businesses move into this complex and stay for a season, and then God called them on. But everyone that God called for whatever we needed for that season, they were right there, that we don't have to go anywhere. When we need to do those little cards, Doris was right there. You know what I'm saying? Doris's husband was dying with cancer. He got to be saved, the right place at the right time. The AV shop over there. Now we're about to go into this PR bit where we're putting stuff out there. He's there. When we were decorating and doing any other stuff, Terry was there. You know, all of the different things, whatever God needed to be, even people that can take noise. Who else could be on the side of us but other believers?
Amen.
It would take this other Nazarene woman over on the other side, or we wouldn't have a church, you know, that could take all that Billy Hunt singing and stuff 2 years ago and the stuff, or people praying in tongues or laughing in the Holy Ghost or whatever else it is. That's a grace from God.
Amen.
So we've got to discern, first of all, the will of God and develop faith in it and reverence for the will of God. Do you know whether you're in the will of God or not? How do you know when you're in the perfect will of God? You know, and how sovereign is the will of God? I think that's the problem where, you know, that's a sad thing where you see broken relationships. Some people come to church and then all of a sudden they're gone, you know, in and out, and their hearts have been ripped apart, all this other stuff. And, you know, people switch relations, you know, church relationships and stuff. You know, we shouldn't change that like underwear.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Relationships, you know, and even our family life and friends and husbands and wives and different, nothing has longevity anymore. Amen. I tell people, if you've been divorced in the past, that thing is over. Get over it. Whatever you're with right now, you better be with that until the day you die. You know what I'm saying? Because that's longevity, and that's what God desires. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That we will know it.
Amen.
And if we're not, then you're not.
You can't. How can you develop? What are some of the evidences? Well, the devil will try us.
You know it without a doubt. Then and if you don't know it without a doubt that you are, then you're not.
Well, a lot of people, they don't reverence the Lord. See, circumstances are not going to confirm the will of God for us.
Amen.
Circumstances don't confirm the will of God for us. You know what I'm saying? God, there is a voice of God, and everybody can have that voice. You know, it's not just Pastor Rod or this spiritual person over there or whatever else. There is a quiet voice inside of everybody's heart. You know what I'm saying? That is the voice of God. And no matter what goes down, that will confirm the will of God for us.
Amen.
All right. We gotten out there, didn't we? We got to get rolling. All right. Now, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. First of all, I want to break down that word. Right? You need to know this word. And you need to have this arsenal. And then this is more like Bible college. You know what I'm saying? You need to know this word so you can use it. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to pull off. We want you to take these. How many believe that you can take spiritual truths and cause them to profit?
Amen.
To bring a profit in your life.
Amen.
Now, what we're saying, dear, is you hear something, it should make a difference in how you perform at work or whatever else it is. I mean, we believe. Everybody say, we believe.
We believe.
In
the supernatural.
Okay. For this cause. Is that the right verse? No. We're in number. Are you hearing? Yeah, they're hearing. Praise the Lord. Now listen. To the faithful saints and brothers in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae, grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing that you're going to get. I talk real out there off one verse. But I can get 100 verses to back this case up. When you look at this first verse of Colossians, this will let you know what an apostolic, the heart of a truly apostolic ministry. There are three things in there that you're going to catch. First of all, to receive an apostolic anointing. Everybody says you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. What do you get?
A prophet's reward.
So that we know that each office or each supernatural gifting carries along with that certain rewards. But in order to receive those rewards or pick up those rewards, you got to have what? Revelation of it. We notice that only the people in the New Testament, you know, in that New Testament when Jesus was on the earth, only those that were able to receive him as the Messiah were able to reap the benefits of a Messiah. Those that didn't receive him as the Messiah didn't get it, right? So the same thing. So here we're seeing what an apostolic ministry really does. First of all, you got to understand this. An apostolic ministry, first of all, is a delegate. Okay, write this down. Apostolic means delegate. A lot of times apostle can mean sent one. Sent one also means angel. Okay? An ambassador, officially a commissioner. Everybody say commissioner.
Commissioner.
Of Christ. With miraculous powers. That's enough to stop it right there, isn't it? That's enough just to throw in the handbasket right there. Somebody say, a commissioner of Christ.
Commissioner of Christ.
With
miraculous.
Miraculous.
Powers.
Okay? Apostle, a messenger, he that is sent. They come with a message from supposedly God with powers to back up, to cause things to happen, amen, to confirm that message. Now, some of you that have been around here before, we did a whole month on the apostolic ministry, amen. But first of all, I want you to know, first of all, apostolic ministries, miraculous powers. One of the evidences of an apostolic ministry are miraculous powers, okay? And he said, by the will. Somebody say will.
Will.
It's the will of God that brings this ministry in our lives. Not the will of the individual. Okay? Not the will or it choice. Everybody say choice. Okay, now this word says an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It means determination or choice or desire or inclination or pleasure of God. By the pleasure of God. When apostolic ministry comes our way, what delights the heart of the Father? What brings pleasure to the heart of the Father?
The prosperous kids.
Right. So apostolic ministry is going to come to us, or apostolic gifting is going to come to us to bring pleasure to the Father. Okay. I hope this gets better for you. All right. Now it says, now this is what an apostle will usually do. He opens up this entire book and says, first of all, grace be unto you. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Now we studied the word grace before so many times, and whenever we hear the word grace today, we hear it in our own English vernacular and we think, amazing grace, how sweet. How many of you have ever heard that? Mm-hmm. That's really nice, but it's really washed down. You miss it. You miss what the word grace is if you just look to it in that terminology, okay? Grace is this. Listen, first of all, we also know that grace is God's gratitude toward you. Say grace is power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Grace is power. Notice how we watch Brother Hagin's ministry. And Brother Hagin comes and Brother Hagin will walk up to somebody and say, oh, be blessed. That is his heart. He has something on the inside of him imparted to him from God that he wants to give to others. I'm finding this. Paul says this a lot. But I believe that if we saw Paul, we would see this power within him. Or this grace. He talks about this grace all the time that was on the inside of him. And because we look at this through religious eyes, we don't just read the book and see what he was talking about. He says, now grace to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you. He's basically saying power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Be unto you. Apostolic ministry comes to us to bring grace to you. Like if I come in contact with you and if I have an apostolic ministry, I'm going to get in your life and I'm going to say, grace be unto you. Just not, oh, have a nice day. This relationship is going to bring something into your life. Now check out this and tell me, look at your life over the last 3 years, 1 year, whatever it is. This grace means this, right? Charis. Remember we studied that word charis. Okay? One, a manner or act, divine influence upon the heart. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life, including gratitude. Now that grace could represent joy and all these other things, other manifestations. Something, when apostolic ministry touches our lives, something is going to click. Now, one of the things I found out with this word, everybody say divine.
Divine.
Influence.
Influence.
That's scary. Mm. What I found out when we were studying, they lifted up Moses' hands, and as long as his hands were lifted before God, the people prevailed. When they said, it's not good us wait tables, you know, but we will give ourselves totally to prayer and to the word of God, and the body increased and brought increase, I think that this prayer life that Paul had validated his calling and who he was. And the more that he got in contact with God, the more grace was imparted to him and the more influence was upon the people. Look at this. Now, this divine influence, it says, divine grace be multiplied unto you. The will of God, the influence of God, the supernatural intellect of God be granted to you as... Like, he's going to give you stuff to think about. Give you stuff to think about it. Now it says grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Divine influence. Then right after that, we get the word what? Peace. Grace and peace. Now, we studied the word shalom before. Peace represents nothing missing, nothing broken, or basic prosperity. Apostolic ministry will first of all give us divine influence in our heart. How many of you notice you start to think about God a little bit more than you usually did, you know? And, you know, you sense that warmth. That's the grace of God within you. okay? If you work that grace and not just overlook it, but if you really start to milk that grace and use that grace, it will cause peace or shalom to come to your life. All right. Now, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're getting there. I'm trying to get there. I just want to get through this one verse today. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Can I keep you just a little? Okay. We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm about to covenant. I know this sounds really weird, but I'm about to covenant this same thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, I'm serious. God is trying. Somebody said, oh, big deal. Well, you do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to be working for the church. You know, I'm always going to be doing something, doing whatever else it is. But you know what kind of faith it takes just to live? You know, nuns or whatever, just to live in prayer. Paul said, grace and peace be multiplied. And he says, listen, we give thanks unto God our Father's praying always. Mm-hmm. For you. What I'm perceiving in the Bible, that Paul's life was basically gone for others. He said, by the will of God, called to be an apostle, it's the will of God for him to set his life on the side and give it to others through prayer. As Moses, you know, Moses could have been doing his own thing. Moses lifted his hands in prayer, and as he lifted his hands in prayer, what happened?
The people prevailed.
So here we see this apostolic ministry. Is anybody catching this? Yes. Like, I read stuff and I don't just read it to get history out of it. I say, well, wait a minute, we're into the same thing here. Mm-hmm. What would, if Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, if we put the same ingredients in today that they put in 2,000 years ago, guess what should happen?
Same results.
We should get the same results. Mm-hmm. And why don't we have the same results? Because nobody's putting in the same ingredients. I know thousands of preachers and thousands of pastors and thousands of people out there that don't have the passion or the heart to put everything else on the side and get before the Lord in prayer that the people might prevail. Since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love which you have to all saints. Some say faith.
And love.
Will reap.
Prayers.
I'm seeing you do, somebody say, you do your part. God will call others out to start to match your faith up with their stuff. If you start to, listen, nobody's going to lay their life down for anybody and do all that stuff for people that can't love each other. Amen. Or don't have any faith. That's, I tell you what, that would be, I'd rather blow my brains out to pray for a bunch of people. You know, it's not going, you know, you can pray all you want to. But if people don't have faith and love, those prayers are not going to be answered. You cannot, if somebody believes, I'll always be broke, I'll always be poor, and they're always saying, you can pray till you're blue in the face. It's not going to super exceed their level of faith. But if you get a bunch of people together that have love, that say, hey, we're going to walk in the love of God, mine, that means nothing's going to be unstoppable for them. God's not going to invest other people's lives into your life unless those ingredients are there. See, we expect God to keep throwing stuff at us, throwing good relationships to us, throwing the best of this and the best of this, and we don't want to throw anything back at God. I think God's looked at your lifestyle and looked at your passion and say, hey, it demands more. So not only, if they're going to put themselves out to love each other, guess what? I'm going to get them some intercessors. I'm going to get them the best of ministry. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to call somebody else's life out there to make sure it works. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So your part is to walk in love toward one another. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And to stay in the faith, to keep your faith built. Amen. And as you do that, God's going to do more than what you ever could think about doing.
Amen.
He'll call somebody's life out and say, hey, don't worry about your stuff anymore. I just want you to live your life in prayer. I just want you to hear God. I just want you to hear heaven. I want you to stay in prayer and stay in tune to heaven and just speak the word and you just be a vessel so that they might be able to prosper. That's a gift from heaven. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So they did love. They walked in love and they walked in faith. And they were able to reap the benefit from walking in that way. God granted to them ministry. And someone said, that's really crazy. Somebody said, that's really crazy. I believe that this man prayed. I believe before he said he's going to put himself aside to pray for him, he had to see certain criteria. Mm-hmm. And I see it in the Word. Mm-hmm. I see it in the Word. Someone said, well, why didn't you do it all along? Maybe I was lazy, or maybe there wasn't the criteria, wasn't there. You know, I got a good excuse. Amen. Or somebody else might have an excuse. Amen. For why certain things don't happen. There were certain places where Jesus went, and they said in that town he could not do many mighty works because of their what?
Unbelief.
So there are certain things that cause things not to work. All right. So we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since. Somebody say since.
Since.
So that's since we found out this, it made us do this. And we're going to find another scripture. Okay. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love that you have for all the saints. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, when you get sincere people.
I talked to you about that.
Yeah, you did.
I took out my CD. Love in the most excellent. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I told him about that last night. Mm-hmm. I talked to you about. Didn't we talk today too?
She getting blessed. Hallelujah.
Didn't we talk? And you were saying just what me I told her today about that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're finding out certain things supernaturally. Anybody getting anything out of this?
She said it.
I'm finding out this other thing, too, that for the last, we supernaturally haven't been able to get anything done. We supernaturally haven't been able to get anything done. I came up to this office today to get the mini tracks going. We got up here about 9 o'clock, and it's not Brother Jesse's fault. He worked all day long. But that thing just wouldn't come on. Software we used forever. Nothing would happen. And the only thing I was able to do is, waiting for my computer to get up because I need my network to get my stuff together, waiting. And I realized, I said, maybe I can just read ahead. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't have to plug in a Bible. You know what I'm saying? I usually like to get on the net and study the net and find out all the things and really get into it and do all these other things and get up there. None of those things would happen. And I realized, I guess that's all I'm supposed to do, huh? The only thing I was able to do today, Rex was with me today, lay hands on a girl at Starbucks, amen. Talk to my brother here. Go encourage Sister Doris, amen. Amen. Be a blessing. There are certain jobs, there's nothing to the job but other be in prayer, be full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing. Amen. I like that job. We were at the Starbucks today and drove through the Starbucks. Thank God Brother X was there. We went to the Starbucks. He came to get it. Didn't feel like eating lunch. Amen. But we went to the Starbucks and went to there. And God said, you can go pray for that girl. I said, why not? So how long did it take? 3 minutes? Went in, laid hands on her. And she said, thank you very much. That's a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So right here, since. Everybody circle the word since.
Since.
This is not a game. This is not a game. Can I tell you one reason why we're still here? Like that's some big deal. You know, I'm not boasting. Can I tell you why we're still here in this town? Why we're still at Nations Church with about 12 or 15 people showing up on Wednesday night? Can I tell you why? We don't have a choice.
Amen.
It's real easy.
That's right.
It's real easy. I mean, it's just real easy. You know, you can make good decisions when you don't have one. Amen? That creates a lot of stuff. You know, sometimes we argue and debate over stuff and fight over stuff and say, God, what are you saying? Last thing I said the last time. So none of those things really matter if we would just anchor ourselves. Stop thinking about our life and stop trying to make, you could be preaching here, you could be down there. Forget all that stuff and do what God says to do no matter who. The results are His problem.
Amen.
When we go to heaven, God's not going to say, how much did you do? He's going to say, what did you do? And the thing He wants you to hear is what you told me to.
Amen.
There are going to be a lot of people that get up to heaven and say, didn't you cast out devils, did all this other stuff, you know? But the question is God's not going to ask how much you did, how much, what? Everybody say what?
What?
Only what God tells you to do is going to make a difference. I could go out there and save 50,000 souls, but if there was one soul that God wanted me to touch, you know, one life, you know, that I miss, that's the life that I'm required for. Okay. Since, everybody say since. That's a powerful word. Since we heard of your faith, faith moves God. Faith moves giftings. You know, and we expect God to do something to motivate our faith. No, faith motivates God to do things. Before God did anything, he asked them where their faith is. So faith precedes motivation. Okay? He said, if you believe, all things are possible. Didn't say when all things get possible, you'll start to believe. Faith calls those things that are not as though they are. Amen. Okay, so we're all, everybody, isn't that a good one?
Amen.
So how many of you want to see God move, want to see that miraculous start to happen, start Amen. To get some faith out there? Amen. Okay, now, since we heard of your faith and your love, which ye have to all, some say with all the saints. When we refuse to love each other as a body, guess what's going to happen? Those apostolic giftings, those prophetic giftings, you know what I'm saying? We'll lose the real and get a bunch of fake stuff. And I'm so tired of the fake.
Amen.
It seems like the more noisy it is, the phonier it is. Mm. That's what I've learned. You know, you can make a lot of noise, but the noise is not going to do anything. Amen. The real is what does it. If we as a body just made up our mind, whether we have any gifting whatsoever, at least we're going to love each other.
Amen.
Then all the other stuff will get added on to that, okay? Which you have to all for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Somebody say hope in heaven.
Hope in heaven.
Praise God for that. Now, whereof the word of God, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and is in all the world, that bringeth forth fruit as it doth in you, since the day ye have heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. I thought I'd get through this whole chapter. There is no way. I thought I'd get through this whole chapter one and then pick up that Ephesians prayer. There is absolutely no way. We're at chapter 5. We're at verse 5. We're not going to get there. That just ain't going to happen. Somebody say, praise God. But if you can get this one point here. When I looked at this, somebody say, hope laid up for you in heaven. Say it, hope.
Hope.
Hope is expectation. And that word laid up, and I looked at it like laid up when you get to heaven. Oh, it's all going to be laid up for you in heaven. Well, we don't believe that heaven's just the sweet by and by. Heaven's the realm of the supernatural.
Amen.
Now, there's some things expected for you. Somebody say expectation.
Expectation.
Reserved.
Reserved.
Ooh.
That word laid up means in reserve. There are some things that are reserved just for you. Okay? And he says, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You hear what's in heaven. As soon as you hear it, listen, as soon as you hear something, it's in reserve. As soon as you hear it and can understand it, it's reserved. Means you can't miss it. I mean, you know, you can have a reservation at the restaurant but never show up. But as soon as you hear of a promise in the gospel, as soon as revelation comes to you, guess what happens? It's got your name on it. And it's reserved for you. Okay, which is come unto you and it is in all the world and bringeth, somebody say, bringeth forth.
Bring it forth.
Fruit.
Fruit.
Hallelujah. Since the day you heard of it and knew, somebody say knew. The grace.
Grace.
How many of you know the grace? Mm-hmm. How do you really know the grace? There are so many people that don't know the grace of God, and that's sad. You know, and all they know about the grace of God is a song, a sentimental feeling. It's not a grace, it's sentiment. Grace is that divine influence. How many of you have had divine influence lately? Have you had any divine, give me a divine influence thing that you believe is divine, something influence been on your heart that's divine. Y'all gonna get out of here. It's 9:14, you'll be out at 9:30. What is it? Yeah, you felt the power of God or perceived God trying to tell you something or?
Well, I had a client meeting 2 days ago, and they were coming in, checking us out, checking me out, seeing if they wanted to do business with us. So, you know, I walked them through the normal steps, and they were real nice folks, real nice, just nice people. Social Security and stuff like that, and her disability. And it was just mentioned, and at the end, she said, tell me about your wife's disability. And so I started to tell her, I said, but, you know, she's healed from that. And they said, oh, did they find, you know, the cure?
They still haven't found it.
I said, well, not exactly. And she looked at me and said, oh. I said, well, we're churchgoers. And my heart started swelling. Because it wasn't a nervousness like you do, like the fourth thing. She was saying, really, we go to First Baptist Church, and we've got a guy that's really charismatic. He was anointing people with oil, and she just went on and on about this anointing oil.
See?
And the next thing I know, I'm chiming in with Jesus and God and all this other stuff. We were just,
then you said, watch this. God is good.
But, you know, it wasn't me in the flesh, though. Because I was trying to hold back. I was like, you know, I don't want to come off as some guy like I'm trying to show you that I'm a good guy and you'll want to do business with me, but you don't trust me because I'm saying this thing.
Well, even though that may be true. You are a good guy. It'd be smart to do business with you.
Amen.
I'm saying that's not why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this because you asked.
Amen. I think it's good. Did y'all pick up anything tonight? Was that kind of out there? Did you get just a little bit? Everybody say this.
This.
Is.
Is.
The will.
The will.
Of God.
Of God.
That should give you confidence. You know, when you know that God's will was before everything in everybody, you know what I'm saying? Showed up before you, showed up before me, that God's will is His power. God's will is His power. And that really we should all become nothing but, you know, vessels of the will of God, just bringing the will of God to pass. We got a couple of minutes here. We can pray. I could tell you what, as we were just sitting here studying, I heard a slogan just today, and you know, a theme that kind of goes along what we want to say and how we can use it. Rita's think about some stuff, but just tell people, come and enjoy life with us. You know? And really, when I was just, you know, sitting there thinking, it says, what does Nation Church do? What do we want? You know? I was like, we just don't want a bunch of people because some people get on your nerves. You know? And really, what we're really looking for is people just to come and enjoy life with us. And that's what the premise of Nation Church is. We just enjoy life. And our heart is, come on and enjoy it. But we're not going to leave out anything that's real in our lives. And one of this thing I'm pushing, y'all can let me be crazy. I'm believing in this apostolic stuff. You know, if I get up there and pray, I'm not trying to win brownie points from heaven. I'm already going to heaven. So are you. Amen. We go to prayer, we're going to believe that the people should prevail. Every business should do better. Amen. That things should come together. Amen. So, it's good. I sensed the anointing of the Holy Spirit several moments ago. We got about 10 minutes here. Let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for several things. Hallelujah. Thank God. When you got a small church, you need every business to prosper. Amen. Thank you for what you're doing all over the place. Rita, I prayed for your faith this week already. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. Sister Kathy is going in for a couple days of work, you know, per month or whatever else it is. Pray that the favor of God be with her. Amen. Doris has got a thing going on over here. We need to pray for Doris. Amen. We got Pronto Printers up there. He is really, his wife and him, I'm hearing great faith. Amen. You thought they came from Eagle Mountain. And y'all are Catholic background, right? Thought they came from Eagle Mountain or whatever else it is, you know? His wife told him on the phone, was it, you just need to, what, turn it over to God and stop worrying about it, you know? Amen. And let God take care of it. And he's just been so excited about Jesus. You know, he's big. I'm going to share a little bit. You want to share?
No, go ahead.
They started this business in faith up there. And they're challenged. They're extremely challenged right now in that thing. And instead of going in the ways of the world with it, they ran to Jesus with it. They are literally out there. You know, this man is on fire about God. You just see this light, you know. You know, when he starts talking about Jesus, what Jesus can do. And we were over in the office today and doing our bit that we usually did. And he came through the building today. And he's got his own stuff to be thinking about. And he looked in the side room and looked in the sanctuary and said, yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He didn't know, but his heart was praying for this church. You know what I'm saying? In Jesus. What were you saying, brother? In Jesus' name. That's all I just kept saying. In Jesus' name. You know, he has the heart of God and he understands there's a high call on his life or whatever else it is. And thank God he doesn't have a pauper mentality. He has some idea deep down on the inside of him that they're supposed to be blessed in that thing. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And coming to grips with it, you know. And so we're believing God for there. So we're going to pray for that company. There's several things they need to get accomplished in the next. He got a good problem. Amen. God's giving them too much business. Hallelujah. How many of y'all get? What's going on, brother? Give your testimony.
It's going good. The reason why, excuse me for what I'm, the way I'm dressed. I went to go deliver a job, and this weekend we weren't able to tithe. I mean, we weren't able to go to church.
Uh-huh.
We were in out of town.
Uh-huh.
And I have been feeling bad all the, you know, since Sunday because of, it's hard.
Go ahead. Oh, Jesus.